we're going to preach about the resurrection, in particular, the rising of Lazarus. And we find that in John chapter 11, if you care to turn there. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, we want to talk about the rising of Lazarus this morning and what leads up to it. And we'll read John chapter 11 verses 1 to 27. Starting at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we might die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning her brother, their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his precious word. Father and Lord, we thank you in Jesus' precious name, in the name that is above every name, We thank you for your precious word that is truth from the beginning. And as we consider it, Lord, grant us by your Spirit and by your grace, Lord, that we might understand it and be changed by it. We ask it for your glory and in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's start at verse 1 again. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This is the last great miracle that the Lord performed in his public ministry. Perhaps it is the greatest of all. It is the rising from the dead of a man. Now Bethany was about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. Verse 2, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This singular act of devotion is emphasized here by the Holy Spirit because the Lord loves the willing affection of his people. The Lord loves us to tell him that we love him and act accordingly. The Lord loves our devotion. Verse 3. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now the Lord was on the other side of the Jordan River when Lazarus took sick. And in a touching way, the sisters appealed to his love for their brother as to why he should come. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. When the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death, he did not mean that Lazarus would not die, but that death would not be the final outcome of this sickness. And that he, Jesus, would be manifested as the true Messiah. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. You know, when sickness enters our home, we are not always to conclude that God is displeased with us. Here, sickness is directly linked with his love rather than with his anger. He loved them. Verse 6 and 7. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now you would think that if the Lord really loved these 3 believers, that he would drop everything, wouldn't you? And hurry to their home, hurry to their aid. Yet instead, when he heard this, the news, he stayed 2 more days where he was. Sometimes when our prayers are not answered immediately, perhaps the Lord is teaching us patience. Perhaps he's testing our faith. The Lord could not be moved until the time was right. Not even his love for Martha, Mary, and Lazarus could force the Lord to act ahead of the proper time. Everything the Lord Jesus did when he was on the earth was in total obedience to the Father's will. When the Lord was here in the flesh, it was in total obedience to the Father's will and according to the divine timetable. So after 2 days, the Lord Jesus proposed to the disciples that they should go to Judea again.
Verse 8. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? The disciples expressed surprise at the Lord's decision to go back to Judea. The memory of the anger of the Jews when Jesus healed a blind man was still fresh in their minds. Are you going there again? Verse 9. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Now this is how the Lord answered. Normally there are 12 hours of daylight to work in. As long as one works during that time, there is safety from accidental death, because there is the light of this world. There is daylight. Now the spiritual meaning of the Lord's words is this. He was walking in perfect obedience to the will of the Father. There was thus no danger or no way that he would be killed before his appointed time. He would be preserved until his work was done. In a sense, this is true of every believer. If we are walking in fellowship with God and doing His will, there is no power on earth that can kill us before God's appointed time. There is no power on earth, or in the heavenlies for that matter, that can kill us before God's appointed time. Verse 10. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. The person who walks in the night is one who is not faithful to God, who is not obedient to God, but is living in self-will. This man stumbles easily because he does not have divine guidance to illuminate his pathway. Verse 11 to 14. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now here the Lord Jesus spoke of Lazarus' death as sleep. Please note that in the New Testament sleep is never applied to the soul. Never. It's always applied to the body. There is nothing in Scripture at all that at the time of death the soul will be in a state of sleep. It just doesn't happen in the Scripture. Instead, the believer's soul goes to be with Christ, which is far better. As 2 Corinthians 5 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice also that the Lord knew that Lazarus was dead, even though the report he received said that Lazarus was sick. He knew that Lazarus was dead. Verse 15, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. You see, if he had been there with Lazarus, Lazarus would not have died, because no one ever dies in the presence of the Lord. There's no recording in the Bible that anybody ever died in the presence of the Lord. He's the Lord of life. Verse 16. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we might die with him. Now the words of Thomas here are probably an expression of discouragement and gloom rather than of faith. Verse 17 to 20. So when Jesus came, he found that he had been already in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews that had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha met the Lord just outside the village. Mary remained in the house. Perhaps she had not heard that the Lord was coming. We don't know why she remained in the house. Martha had real faith. She had genuine faith to believe that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus from dying. She had genuine faith, yet her faith was not perfect. She thought that he could only do this if he were bodily present. You see, her faith was not perfect. Often in times of sorrow, we talk like Martha, don't we? Including myself. We say, if this drug or medicine had been available, my loved one would not have died. Or if this circumstance would not have happened, my loved one would not have died. But all these things are in the hands of the Lord. And nothing happens to one of his own without his permission. Nothing happens to one of his own without the Lord's permission. There are no ifs in God's family. Martha still did not know who the Lord Jesus really was. In order to make her realize who he was, he made this startling announcement in verse 23. Your brother shall rise again. Your brother shall rise again. We see here in these verses how the Lord deals with this sorrowing woman, to lead her step by step to faith in himself as the Son of God. In verse 24, Martha realized that Lazarus would rise again from the dead one day, in the last day. She believed in the resurrection of the dead and understood that it would happen in the last day. In verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. It was as if the Lord Jesus said to her, Martha, you don't understand. I did not mean your brother shall rise in the last day. I am God. And I have the power of resurrection and of life. In my hand, I can raise Lazarus from the dead right now, and I will do it. Then the Lord looked forward to the time when all believers would be raised. At that moment, when all believers are raised, there will be 2 classes, if you like, 2 classes. Those who have died as believers and those who are alive as believers when the Lord returns. He comes to the first class as the resurrection, and he comes to the second class as the life. Now the first class is described in verse 25. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Let's look at that in more detail. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. and reading from verse 13.
First Thessalonians chapter 4. I still hear pages rattling. You found it? First Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13.
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even though God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And another passage, let's look at it. It gives us even more detail. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It'll tell us there what will happen to our bodies, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Back a few books. And we'll read from verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, a mystery is something that wasn't known. It was, remained a mystery until then, until the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to reveal it to the people at the church of Corinth. And he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, and so on. You see, what's happening at this moment when the Lord returns, when we are all raised? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The ones that are present with the Lord right now, who have died through the ages, believing in the Lord Jesus, they are present with him, but they're disembodied, as it were. Their bodies are not with them. Their soul is with the Lord. Their personalities, they themselves are there. Their bodies are in the graves. When the Lord comes, those bodies that are in the grave, whether there's anything left of them as far as we are concerned or not, he will raise those bodies immediately. And he brings with him to the atmosphere, to the air, the Bible says, those souls who are with him. And they are being reunited with their bodies. And their bodies are going to be changed instantaneously on the way up to immortal bodies. And we who are alive in our bodies, we are going up at the same time. And our bodies are going to be changed. And we're so always going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What precious truth has come to us as a result of Lazarus' death. Precious truth. God brings sweetness out of bitterness. And in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, he tells us that he gives beauty for ashes. He gives beauty for ashes. Then the Lord tested Martha's faith and asked in verse 26, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Verse 27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She said this with full assurance. And notice, she made this confession before Jesus was actually before Jesus had actually raised Lazarus from the dead. She made this confession before that. She had now perfect faith. Well, I'll leave it there at verse 27. Even though we haven't actually yet come to the bodily rising of Lazarus, this will be the subject of next Sunday's sermon. So what have we learned from this narrative so far? Have we learned anything? I think that we can take with us at least these three important truths. Number one, Jesus is all-knowing. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead, even though the report told him that he was sick. Number two, Jesus is in control of every circumstance. He deliberately waited 2 days and then attended to Lazarus. Number three, he has the power over life and death. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." These three truths we can take from this message. Now, this Jesus, who the Bible says is God Himself, has paid for our sins by sacrificing Himself on the cross. And 3 days later, He rose again, and He is now offering to anyone who will receive the forgiveness of sins. Sins is when we go our own way. Sin is when we don't believe what God says. Sin is the overstepping of His commandments. We have all sinned. And God is offering forgiveness to anyone if it will be received, because He paid for our sins. The Lord Jesus has the power over life and death. But you must decide. You have to decide if you want to submit to Him. I have to decide if I want to submit to Him. You have to decide if you want to submit to Him as Lord and Savior, to hand your life over to Him, to stop going your own way, and allow Him to take over and confess your sins to Him and follow Him. You as a Christian have to decide. I as a Christian have to decide whether you want to submit to Him and be obedient to Him and not pursue your own agenda anymore or hold something back. You have to decide. He has the power over life and death. But you have to decide. Thank you very much.